today as we come to the table.
Miracles do not change people. Oftentimes, even testimonies don't change people. If people harden their heart and their mind enough, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when you right now, you have family and friends, they have seen the power that God has done in your life. My family, they've seen what God did. They know what I was like before. Listen, I'm not that much better now. I'm just not living in open sin now, okay? So don't get the wrong impression. But they knew the sin I was living in. They knew it. And they see me now, and they saw it happen dramatically overnight. They knew the years of it and sudden change. They know that. They recognize it. But rather than saying, you know what? Maybe Mark really did have something, some encounter with God that's real. It's like, you know what? Just stay away from him. He's crazy.
When you're on the lookout for ways to chat with folks about Jesus, you might assume that delivering a strong sermon is the best approach. But have you ever thought about the best way to share the gospel? Today, Pastor Mark highlights the incredible impact of testimonies. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Once you notice the transformation in your life after welcoming Jesus, you'll have a beautiful story to share with others about your journey. Your presence will spark curiosity in those around you, making them eager to discover what has inspired this transformation in you. Now that's the perfect moment to share how Jesus has transformed your life. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 4, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
And he says, lastly, by him, that is by Jesus, this man stands before you whole. Where do we get our authority? From Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, God in human form, that you crucified, God raised him from the dead. He called us to do this, and that's where we get our authority. Is there anything else you need? Would you like a letter of recommend, maybe, or whatever the case might be? I mean, you couldn't have a greater resume here, and Peter wasn't trying to impress them. Peter wasn't even, I don't think, necessarily thinking about this in advance. No doubt he probably thought about what would happen the next day to some degree, but the Holy Spirit was speaking through Peter and was silencing all of their arguments. It's powerful what the Lord was saying through him and what was happening here, again, by the boldness he received by the Spirit. And notice it says here, and says, this is the stone, that is Jesus, is the stone of the rock which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Again, this was prophesied in Psalm 118. It was prophesied that Jesus, Psalm 118, 22, that the cornerstone would be rejected. And what he's saying is, he not only gave his testimony, now he gives the word of God to back it up. And by the way, whenever we have something we have to share, we should have the word of God to be able to back it up. Okay, here's where that's found in Scripture. If we can't find it in Scripture, what are we doing with it, right? But here's what the Bible says. Here's where it's found. And so he's saying, listen, God predicted that the cornerstone of all the foundations of creation, the creator of the world, would be rejected by someone. You're the generation. You're the ones that did it. You're seeing fulfilled prophecy right before your eyes, right? You know, again, it's one thing to see fulfilled prophecy right before your eyes, but you don't want to be the one fulfilling it if it's something bad, right? This is what Peter's telling him. So again, it's building in them what's happening here. But again, the conviction, if there was any, you think would have built and exploded, but again, they're looking at this purely as a trial. They're not even allowing it to affect their heart the way it should. We'll see in just a moment. But notice this now in verse 12, he says, one of the most powerful and controversial statements of all the Bible, and even polarizing, it may actually polarize some of you when I say this, but notice this, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, under heaven given among men by which we must or literally can be saved. In other words, you Sanhedrin, you leaders, President, Congress, Senate, everyone else, if you want to go to heaven, there's only one way you can do it. World as a whole, Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, Tennessee, everyone, I made my point. There's one way into heaven. It is Jesus Christ, his name alone, and there is no other way. That's a polarizing statement. Think about that today. Now, again, imagine being in front of the Congress today and saying that. What if the Congress called you up and they had that accusation or whatever, and all right, preacher, get up there, you're going to say something. I mean, I remember one time praying for some political event. They wanted a Calvary Chapel pastor. I'm not sure why. I never did find out why, but they contacted me, and I'm not heavy into the political things so much to speak. Again, I'm not opposed to it, but it's not my primary focus. But I said, sure, I'll go pray. Any chance to share the gospel, any chance to pray in Jesus' name, I'll take. I'm coming. So before she gets off the phone, she says, well, you know, you just make sure you don't pray in Jesus' name. That offends people. I said, you got the wrong guy. I said, if I come, it's going to be in Jesus' name. He's my Lord. I appreciate the call, but I'm like, okay, go ahead. You can do it. So I don't know who had contacted them and asked for a Calvary pastor. Somebody that had some level of authority, not me, wanted a Calvary pastor. And so I got to go. The point is that they will always try to keep his name out of it, always try to keep you from using his name or whatever, again, because, again, his name is the one that has the power. There's no other name under heaven. That's why the enemy so avoids that name, because there is no other name. Listen, you in your office, among your friends, among your family, you can talk about all these other religions. You can name the Allah of the Quran. You can name Buddha. You can name Krishna. You can name whatever you want to name. And they're going to say, you know, you're inclusive, and we kind of appreciate your broad-mindedness and all that, whatever. But if you say Jesus is the only way you can get to heaven, everybody else is not getting in. Whoa. Imagine standing for Congress. Just one verse, Pastor. That's all you, one verse, then get out of here. Somebody wanted you to do it. Give me one verse. All right, I'll read one verse. Mr. President, Congress, Senate, it's a pleasure to be here. It's an honor. There's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man must be saved except the name Christ Jesus. Thank you. And walk away. Why? Power. The power of his name. The power of the truth. Why would they have such a fit? Because the same reason they have fits today. And so understand this. Listen, you're listening to this message today and you're thinking, well, I'm going to get to heaven this way or do it that way. Here's what the Bible says. There's no other name under heaven or earth that'll get you in. Jesus said this in 14:6. No one, and the word no one means in the language what you think it would mean, no one can go to the Father except by me. Well, that's too exclusionary. I'm not going to do that. That's fine. God gives you that choice, but you won't get into heaven. You can choose for that to be too exclusionary, but you're not getting in. You know, I can't believe you Christians would say that. Listen, next time somebody says to you, I can't believe you say Jesus is the only way to heaven, just let them know, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I simply had my king write it down and said, go tell them this message. Okay, here it is. Give it to him. Or there it is. Okay, go tell them this. There's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. I can't believe you. I didn't say that. I'm giving you the message. You're not saying it. You didn't write the Bible. It's not coming from you. It's coming from God. It's coming from heaven. And this means we have a choice to make. Now, right now, the Sanhedrin has a choice to make. And right now, maybe some of you in here have a choice to make. And that choice is, do I believe this or not? Now, what you believe doesn't change the truth, but what you believe will determine where you spend the rest of eternity. Eternity is a long, long time. I was sitting out back at the house yesterday in the shade, sweating to death. And somebody was saying, you know what? What a reminder of what things could be like if we didn't know Jesus. You know, and I'm like, wow. That's nothing compared to what it would be like. But at the same time, I was thinking, all I could think of is I'm miserable, get me out of this. Can you imagine being locked into that for eternity and much worse? Guys, I'm not saying this to try to, this is not one of those scare them into the kingdom messages. It's just honest from the heart. I don't want you to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. And if I don't want it, how much more does God not want it? That's why Jesus came to the cross and died, so that you wouldn't have to spend eternity in that place. It's real. And we need to accept it, and we need to make a decision. So he polarizes here by doing this. But again, it was something that God was having him say to them. Now, you would think that they're going to be converted by this, or at least some of them. And notice what it says. Look at verse 13. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Now, look, their attitude was they were untrained and they were uneducated because they hadn't been through what? Their schools. But guys, note this, there was nobody better trained. There was nobody better educated than somebody who lived with God in human form, walking on the earth for 3.5 years. The ones that were truly educated were Peter and John. The ones that really weren't educated were those who maybe had all the biblical studies, but they didn't know the one they were studying. It's like Jesus said to them, you search the scriptures to find life. He said, but it's me the scriptures speak about, and you're rejecting me. So you're rejecting the very thing that you're studying that you're supposed to find out about. He says, no, that doesn't work that way. And they said two things. They're uneducated. They're untrained. What's going on? It makes them marvel about this, that they would be able to say this and do this as untrained and uneducated. But I love this because what it says is also they could tell they had been with Jesus. Can people tell that you've been with Jesus? Can people tell that when you're around them? And I would go even farther than that. It wasn't just that were they with Jesus, but Jesus was still with them. He doesn't leave us. He's with us forever. So people should be able to tell that not only that we've been with Jesus, but people should be able to tell that Jesus, we're still with him right now. They could tell that. They knew that. That's when a life is being lived for the Lord and filled with the Spirit. People recognize that. And again, I love the fact that they acknowledged it, but you would think, okay, this is going to be something that's going to, again, at least convict them to talk about it. Look at verse 14. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The reason they didn't blow up is because there was the witness. But when they had commanded them to go outside the council. Now, first of all, this is interesting to me. It's going to tell us what they said. They conferred among themselves. Before we read verse 16, how do we know what they said inside the council? They made them go out, right? Well, guess who was on the Sanhedrin that wasn't saved yet? Paul. Paul was in there. Paul heard every bit of this. Now, probably some of the other Sanhedrin got saved as well. But Paul would have no doubt been able to say, hey, guys, you know what happened when you left the room? Here's what they said. Oh, that's good. Let me write that down. We'll put that in one of the books of the Bible. No, they didn't do it that way. But they wrote down what it was that was said. And notice this. They put them out. And they said, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Guys, this is amazing to me. Now, you'd be thinking, they go, all right, guys, let's talk about this. They obviously have something here. They're speaking with great boldness. There seems to be some truth in what they're saying. I mean, I sense something here that's not the ordinary. This man, he got up. He couldn't walk. He was a cripple his entire life. He's now been healed. I mean, could these guys be legitimate? Could there be something here we missed? You would think that'd be the conversation. Notice it never entered their mind. It wasn't even like, well, maybe there's some truth here. No, it was like, you know what? How do we stop these guys? Isn't it amazing? When somebody hardens their heart and their mind so much against the Lord, they can't even be convicted or hear God working in a powerful way. Miracles do not change people. Oftentimes, even testimonies don't change people. If people harden their heart and their mind enough, it is a work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when you right now, you have family and friends, they have seen the power that God has done in your life. My family, they've seen what God did. They know what I was like before. Listen, I'm not that much better now. I'm just not living in open sin now, okay? So don't get the wrong impression. But they knew the sin I was living in. They knew it. And they see me now, and they saw it happen dramatically overnight. They knew the years of it and the sudden change. They know that. They recognize it. But rather than saying, you know what? Maybe Mark really did have something, some encounter with God that's real. It's like, you know what? Just stay away from him. He's crazy, right? Which isn't completely false in many ways. But the bottom line is, that's what they do here. Notice what they do. They're like, you know what? What are we going to do with these guys? Can't deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Notice, let us use fear tactics. Threaten them with jail or whatever else, even death possibly, that they don't do it. But notice again that they speak no more in this name. Again, we already covered it. Why this name? Because it's the only name that has any real power. It's the name that changes lives for those who believe in who he is and what he's done. And so they say, all right, don't preach in this name. You're done. You can't do it. Their blindness, I mean, all that goes with this. And notice it says, so they called them, verse 18, and they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And guys, that may be in our future. That may be in our future in America. Things are changing. I know you, oh, that would never happen. Look, I never dreamed what would happen a few years ago would happen. Where they would begin all these things, you know, whatever their, you know, the lockdowns and this and whatever, the thing we just, our nation went through. I never dreamed that Americans would ever put up with that. We're known for freedom, right? And yet, you know, our founding fathers, you know, better to live and die, they said, than to have no life. And guys, living a life separate from each other, for extended periods of time, locked down in wherever that place may be, your home or somewhere else, regardless of the reason, that's not life. And if it's driven by fear to remove that life, we need to lose the fear and live life. Plagues have happened throughout history. This is nothing new. People don't shut down when plagues happen. They take precaution and they live life. That's what we're called to do. We weren't created to be locked away in rooms and denied this. It was a horrible thing that we went through as a nation. Again, hopefully it'll never happen again, but the bottom line is I fear that it very possibly could. And especially if it doesn't come in that form, in some other form, if you will, of persecution, not by men so much, by the spiritual battle. This is a much higher battle. It's not flesh and blood we battle against. These are spiritual forces that we battle against. And notice here they say to them, you can't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. What are we going to do if they say that to us? You can't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. See, this is why I said we have to decide now what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We can't wait until then because then it's going to be too late. I love his answer, though. Notice this, but Peter and John answered and said to them, and guys, here should be our answer. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That is, whether or not it's right to obey you or to obey God, you decide. We're going to obey God. This has to be where the church is. Guys, there's going to be other things that are going to come down the pike that are going to challenge us into what we believe pertaining to the Word of God. Y'all remember when this whole thing happened? And don't worry, I'm not going to get sidetracked on issues with all these last few years, but just to make some points of spiritual things where God ministered to me. I remember when that whole thing happened with COVID and whatever kicked in. Okay, nobody gathered, nobody can meet, let's all, whatever. And again, we, like every other church, backed away for a month or so to kind of, look, they told us the house was on fire. The house is on fire. Everybody's going to die, right? So we all got out in the yard and looked at the house for a while. And we watched from home in our pajamas or whatever, you know, is the house going to burn down? What's going to happen, right? And then finally I realized the house isn't really on fire. And there's a lot of fear being thrown around, but people live and people die. Plagues have been around throughout history. Let's have church. So I began to pray and I said, God, what do you want us to do? And God spoke so clearly to me. He said, I've opened a door that no one can shut. And so I knew right then what he was saying. We're going to open back up. And we did right away, as you guys know. It wasn't just that, but it was also the other scripture. Listen what it says. Paul wrote this. He said, do not forsake the assembling together of believers. And note this, especially, if you're a circler in your Bible, that's a good one, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. How many of you guys think we see the day of the Lord approaching? Now, when Jesus said in Matthew 24, in the last days, there's going to be plagues, did he know that he would also put in Paul's heart to later say, when you see the last days, don't forsake the assembling together? In other words, did God know when there will be last days plagues, and there'll be more? There's an S on that word. I don't like it any more than you do. But it's got an S in Matthew 24. It doesn't just say plague. When the Lord said that, do you also realize that he said at the same time, when you see that happening, do not forsake the assembling together as believers? Guys, that's the command of the Lord. What if somebody dies? Newsflash, we're all going to die. Now, I don't mean that in an uncompassionate way, but this is where we have to decide in advance, am I afraid to die? And am I willing enough to obey the word of the Lord, regardless of what my fears might be? Now, let me give this balance. I'm not saying that we're not to use caution. I'm not saying that we don't have our eyes wide open. Some plague comes through and they say, okay, wait a minute. How do we protect each other? How do we keep from things getting worse and worse, if you will, and people really running into a bad situation or whatever? We're not here just to cavalierly, just let people die and do this, whatever. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm saying we have to decide what has God told us to do as the church in every situation, and then we have to put God first. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 12, verses 29 through 31. Now, before I even read that, let me say this. During that time, I had more than one person come to me and say, look, I know that everybody's saying you need to go and take the shot or whatever and this kind of thing. And so, and I'm not judging that either way. That's not my point here. I'm saying people came to me as a pastor and asked that question. And they said, but I believe God told me not to. I really think God told me not to. I'm not just saying that because I think he said, don't do that for whatever reason. Everybody heard from God their own way, right? I think God told me not to. I said, look, if God told you not to, then don't do it. Because you have to obey God first. Yeah, but everybody says, I'm not loving my neighbor. I'm not loving people because if I really loved him, I'd do this. I said, listen to what it says in Mark 12, 29 through 31. Jesus said this, the first of all commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Interpretation, God comes first before everything else. Everything else. Even before your neighbor. Listen to what he said. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, that comes second to what God has told you to do. And if God tells you in the future, no matter what comes through in our culture, if God tells you not to do it, it is not unloving to do what God told you to do. Jesus said this, if you love father or mother or daughter more than me, in other words, if I'm not first and you don't obey me first, you're not worthy of me. That scares me. No, God comes first. And that means it is a loving thing to do, because if God tells us to do it, it's the most loving thing that we can possibly do because God said it. And so, again, whatever situation, okay, could be anyone, doesn't matter. Whatever happens in the future, guys, you've got to make sure that you're listening to God. It's got to be the Lord. What is God telling you to do? Don't be intimidated by the culture around you. Don't be afraid of what people say. Listen, Christians are the most easy to manipulate because we by nature are more loving. And so if somebody accuses us, oh, you're not loving. Oh, I want to be loving. Well, then you need to do this. Well, maybe I should because I want to be loving. Don't just be intimidated or tricked by what's being said around you. Go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do in this situation? And then let God speak to your heart. And when God shows you the scripture and speaks to your heart, stand on it. Well, Peter and John said, look, whether it's right to obey God or obey man, you decide. We must obey the Lord. And notice this. So when they further had threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. So it's like, we can't do anything to these guys. We see it's, you know, they're going to attack us if we do, because God, they believe God's done something. They didn't believe it, but the people do, so we can't do anything. For the man was over 40 years old to whom the miracle had been of healing had been performed. Guys, look, as we wrap this up today, here's the bottom line. We're coming to a time in our nation that Peter and John were facing in theirs, where the things that God tells us to do, our culture and maybe even our government is going to say, don't do that. Now, hear me clear on this. Come under the governing authorities up to the point where they tell you to go against the word of God. I'm not preaching rebellion against government authorities. We come under the governing authorities. Let me be clear on that. But if they ask you to do something that goes against your conviction of what you believe God told you, and if they ask you to go against something clearly the word of God says we're not to do, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've got to say, look, Nebuchadnezzar, I hear your mandate, but this is what God told me to do. And so I guess I get thrown in the fiery furnace and I'll trust God. Are you able to really say that? Are you able to really make that stand? If not, ask God, say, God, give me that boldness. Give me that courage. I want to be able to do that. And God will do that for you. And also, remember that God is our highest authority. Regardless of man, we turn to God. If we keep those things in line, guys, in the last days, we're going to be okay. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, but I do know this. Throughout church history, when persecution has turned up on the church, God has been more than gracious to the church. The bottom line is that whenever you see persecution on the church, they not only thrive, they have joy. So don't be afraid. Know that God will give joy. Know that God will give courage. Know that God will give us everything we need to make the stand we need to make and to be a witness for Jesus Christ in the days in which we live.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Throughout the New Testament book of Acts, we see how the early church grew through faith, perseverance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Despite opposition and persecution, the apostles and early believers remained steadfast, spreading the gospel with boldness and love. The Christian journey isn't meant to be lived out alone. From the very beginning, God designed His church to be a community of believers who support, encourage, and strengthen one another. Are there Christian brothers and sisters in your life who have walked alongside you in faith? Have they encouraged you during difficult seasons and helped you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Take time today to thank them and to thank God for placing them in your life. Be a source of encouragement to others, carrying each other's burdens and demonstrating the love of Christ. Come to the Table is the broadcast ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you'd like to visit us in person, we'd love to meet you. Service times can be found on our website, thewaymedia.net. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can still join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app. which you can download from your app store or directly from thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But we pray that you've been encouraged by our study in the book of Acts. We look forward to having you join us again next time, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.